want to look a little bit at the life of Ezra. So if you've got your Bibles, you're welcome to turn with me, and I'm just going to read a few scriptures from Ezra. And while you're turning to Ezra chapter 7, I'm just going to pray. Thank you, Father. Lord, you are mighty in all your ways. And Lord, we can't help but say thank you. Lord, indeed, as we sung earlier, you are a good, good Father. Lord, you are a good Father. Lord, we pray, Lord, that we'd know the extension, the truth, and the reality of that today. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you, Lord, that you hear us when we pray. We thank you that you are our helper. We thank you, Lord, that you are our sustainer. And we thank you, Lord, that you're the one who reveals truth to us in your word to us. And Lord, as we come around your word today, we thank you that it's a living word. It's not a word of yesterday, but it's a word of today. Lord, and we pray that living word will be fresh for us today. Lord, help us, every one of us, you have something you want to say to us. And I pray, God, that you'd use me as your vessel to deliver that word into our hearts. I pray that we'd hear God today, we'd hear you, hear the Father's heart today. So I thank you for every person here, Lord, that you value them. And Lord, speak into their lives, speak into this church's life, speak into this town, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. I don't know how many of you know a little bit about Ezra, but Ezra was called by God. He was an exile, a Jew that God had called, but he was a priest, he was a scribe. But God had called him. The Jews for 70 years had been in exile from Babylon. They'd been taken out. They'd been, exiled from Jerusalem and been put into Babylon. And then after 70 years, they began to return. And when they first returned, they began to see the temple rebuilt. Now, the temple was a key figure, a key instrument in part of their worship and what they were doing in Jerusalem. And it had been destroyed by the Babylonians. And then God eventually began to see them return home. And then He was faithful and seeing the temple restored. And one of the things that we need to recognize with God as a common theme for us today is God is a faithful God. He's a faithful God. Even when the Jews were unfaithful, God still tends to remain faithful. And he was faithful to ensure that the temple would be rebuilt. He was faithful to ensure there was a remnant of about 50,000 Jews to go back and to be reestablished to Jerusalem. He was faithful to raise up people to see the temple rebuilt. But then, a man named Zerubbabel, I said that pretty quick there, didn't I? Zerubbabel was used to instrument in building the temple. And there was difficulties, there was challenge. As with any building project, there was challenges that they faced. But God still remained faithful to raise up others, to keep them going, to encourage them to remain faithful, that they would what they started, it would be completed in God. God remained faithful. But nonetheless, although things were beginning to around on the physical, on the outside, things seemed to be coming together. On the inside, the people's hearts still weren't right with God. They were still far from God. And God raised up this man called Ezra. He was a man of God that God said time and time again. If you read through the book of Ezra, you see it says that God's hand was upon Ezra. Again and again, God's hand was upon Ezra. To have God's hand upon your life is a wonderful thing. This morning we prayed over little baby Ezra. And we're praying God's hand would be upon his life as we've dedicated him, we've committed him into God's care, into God's direction. That God's hand, as he grows up, God's hand will be upon him, leading him this way and that way. But God's hand was upon Ezra of the Bible that we read about. And God used him mightily to bring the people back into relationship with God. You know, one of the greatest things that this world needs, is that this nation needs, is to come back into a relationship with God. I mean, we can look around us and we can see the news, we can see the difficulties, the trauma, the frightening things that are going on around us. We can see the disunity, we can see the hatred, we can see the crime. We can see the rebellion, we can see the abomination that goes on in our nation. We can see the sin around us, the greed. But what we can see is there is a lack of godliness in this nation, but there is still a remnant of godly people here among us today. There are people that love Jesus. You're here today, many of you, because you love God. You've been singing these songs. You're not just coming to have a sing song, but you've come to sing to worship God, because in the depth of your heart, you have this relationship with him and you love him. Praise God, there is a people, there's you and I here today, as many other thousands of Christians throughout the world who are loving Jesus and still making a stand for Him. And their relationship with God, and you know in your heart, no matter what you've been through and you go through life, you know one thing that will always remain the same is that Jesus Christ is real to you. Amen. No one can take that away from you. No one can take away that moment when Jesus came into your life. You know how real that experience was. You know the change that took place in your life. And we come across in this story about Ezra. And one of the key things we see of Ezra, he was a man who sought after God. That is so commendable. And I pray that every one of us here today, that you would have a hunger and a desire in your heart, that you would be a man or woman, would seek after God. And it says, Ezra chapter 7, verse 8, I'm going to read from there. And Ezra came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. On the first day of the first month, he began his journey from Babylon. And on the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of God upon him. Praise God. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach the statutes and ordinances to Israel. What's this saying? It's saying that Ezra had devoted his heart to seek the word of God. He devoted his heart not only to seek what God's word was, but he sought not only to seek it, but also to live it out in his life. You know, we can seek God's word, we can read it, we can study it, we can go to Bible college, we can come and have a great understanding, we can learn the Greek, we can learn the Hebrew, we can go into depth, we can look at the context, we can just unravel it in so many ways, but never live it out in our life. Ezra not only sought to understand it and to seek God's word, but he sought to live it out in his life. As a children, as a people of God, as people who seek to follow after God, we need to be a people that live it out in our lives. Otherwise, we just become hypocrites. God wants his word to be living in us and through us, through you. And that's a tremendous privilege, because there is life in his word. There is transformation in his word. It's a living word. There is conviction in his word. There's power to transform us and to change us. His word is so powerful in our life. And Ezra sought the word. Why did he seek after God's word? You know, you people think, well, why should I read the Bible? Why should I listen to the teaching? Why should I listen to people talk about the word of God? Why should I read that? My heart, when I was 16 years old and I started reading the pages of the King James Version, it was at the time, it was the Bible that I had. When I began to read these pages, it just jumped out. I mean, it came alive. It was like God was speaking directly into my heart. I mean, I'd read other books. I remember reading other books at the time. And I think the first book I read was Spider-Man Chronicles or something like that. But it didn't have any living life in it. But when I started to read the pages of this book, there was something so powerful and tangible. It was like God was speaking directly through this book into my heart. He was showing me how to live. He was becoming alive. He was showing me Jesus was really living. It's pertaining to my life and where I was at that time. It was a living word. And there was such a hunger within that. I wanted to know more. You know, God speaks to us through his word. And when we get a hold of it, we want to know more. Why did I want to know more? Because it was truth. All the things around us, we have so many voices around us. There's voices through the government that are coming. There's voices on the 100 or whatever channels there are on the TV or the box, whatever station you use. Through the internet resources, there's thousands upon thousands upon thousands of YouTube channels you can go and listen to teaching and different things that are going on around us. But in the midst of all of that, how do we know what truth is? Jesus said, "You'll abide in me, abide in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free." And we, all of us, every person, I don't care who it is on this planet, would love to be in a place of freedom. They want to know that what they believe is truth. They want their lives to be based on truth, that we don't want to be deceived or led astray. And it says, Ezra sought after the place where truth was found, the word of God. It says in Psalm 119, verse 116, it pertains his word to truth. He relates the word of God to being truth. Truth. Truth's a wonderful word, isn't it? When you're speaking to somebody, what you want, and you say, "Tell me, how many times have you said to somebody, you know, whether it be you came out this morning, you said, how do I look today? Tell me the truth." Well, how I handle that situation? Tell me the truth. How am I getting on in my job? Tell me the truth. We want the truth, don't we? We're a people who want the truth because we know how important the truth is to us. And Ezra was a man who sought the truth because he knew the truth of God's word would bring freedom to the people. They've been in captivity for 70 years. The reason they've been in captivity is because they weren't living by the truth of God's word. And he didn't want to go back to that place again. I just pray now there'll be just a desire just floating over your heart just for truth. I want to encourage you today that truth is found through the word of God. Let God develop a hunger through the word of scriptures for truth. He was a man, he said, he set his heart to seek God's word and to do it. When he goes back to these people, he wanted to speak the truth of God's word into their hearts. And I think there's a danger today that we fall in, and you know, and I've been caught in it, but because there's so much out there and so much is easy access, like I said, the internet or whatever, there's books you can download, many free books you can download, there's so many resources, so many people we can contact at an email to ask a question about a situation of life. And we go all these streams, but we don't go to the word of God. Let me tell you, be careful, because these things can distract you from what is truth. If anything, to take time out and just come to pick up a Bible and begin to read it and say, God, I want to know, I want you to speak to me through these pages. As you spoke to Ezra and you brought the word of God to a life, I want you to speak to me through these pages. You know, Ezra was a man of God's word. And I'm praying, that's one of the things I'm praying over Ezra here. His little baby Ezra, that he'll be a man of God's word. He was a man that God raised up and he began to speak to this nation. And we're talking about Father's Day. And one of the things the Lord has been putting on my heart this week is one thing this nation needs, one thing we as a church needs, we need the Father's heart for the church. We don't just need teaching. You know, when you have a teacher, you can go to school, you can be educated, and then you go home. But when you get a father's heart who teaches, you get somebody who cares about you, your life, your development, your growth. He cares about you and will speak honesty, will watch over you in your life. When you have a father's heart, there is emotion, there's compassion, there's love involved. God is a father to the fatherless. And there are some people in this world, they're a fatherless generation. And God would want to call us men to be fathers to this nation. And we have many faithful men in this church who have been faithfully attending this church for years, have served in this church. And I want to tell you, I believe God is saying to you, God is calling you to be a father to this church. He's calling you to be a grandfather to this church. And is encouraging you to speak up and to begin to pass on everything you learned. I'm hungry to listen to what God has done in people's lives. And God used Ezra, I believe, to begin to father this nation back to him through the wisdom of the word of God. Some of you have been stirred even now. Praise God. God is my helper. God used him to help this nation. Now, when I remember the day when Michelle should send a text out just to, when Ezra was being born on that day, and she sent a text out, please pray. You know, it's difficult. Things are happening. Please pray. And I remember I was in the kitchen at the time and I got the text. I think it was a Friday, wasn't it? And I got that and something just began to stir in my spirit. It was as with many others who were praying that day. And I began to walk and pace up and down the kitchen floor and just begin to declare, God, he shall live. God, you are his helper. He shall live. He shall live. God, Amy shall live. And I was declaring it and pacing up and down and declaring that one thing I was declaring, God, you are his helper. You will help him and you will sustain him. You will help. And you know, it's beginning to declare over his life what it is. Because God was raising up something within this young baby. And I believe as people began to pray, as this nation began to pray for a deliverer, to begin to deliver them, God's hand was upon Ezra and began to raise him up. And God's hand is upon your life. And you need to take a hold of that. God has a purpose and a plan for every single one of us. So this story we read about in Ezra chapter 7, we see that Ezra began to return. On that journey back, he began to call the people around him to pray and to fast and to seek God. And in chapter 9, we find that he gets to Jerusalem and he gets the report back to him saying, these people, he said, the temple's been rebuilt. He said, but they're not with God. They've got idolatry. They're mixed in with other religions and other cultures around them. Their eyes and their devotion isn't towards God. They're missing out. There is sin amongst them. There's an abomination going on around amongst them. They're missing out. And when you hear that word sin, we often think, oh, don't talk to me about sin. We kind of frighten away from it. But we don't realize the damage that it does to us. And Jesus came to set us free from sin. And here, this nation, they were still in a state that hadn't returned to God. And God had done something within Ezra's heart. As Ezra got a hold of God's word, God got a hold of Ezra. And we read Ezra, chapter 9, verse 3. So when I heard this thing, it says, I tore my garment, chapter 9, and my robe, and plucked out some of my hair and my beard, and I sat down astonished. Then everyone who trembled at the words of the God of Israel assembled to me because of the transgression of those who had been carried away captive. And I sat down astonished at the evening sacrifice. Can you just picture just for a moment what's going on here, at this moment here? He'd heard that this nation, I mean, they weren't within that deep relationship with God. They weren't walking with God. And that they couldn't see it. They thought everything was okay. We got our temple rebuilt. You know, things are happening. We're back in Jerusalem. And, you know, everything's going okay. And yet, Ezra, he saw things differently. So much so, he began to tear his clothes, rip out his beard, pull out his hair. I mean, he was in anguish of his heart as he began to see a people that weren't walking with God. God's word had done something to this man that it so transformed his heart that it broke him. Now, I believe that as we get into God's word, he will begin to reveal things of his truth in this world. We'll begin to see things differently. We'll look at our nation and we'll begin to weep over it. Ezra began to weep. He fell on his knees and he wept and he cried and he fasted. He didn't eat and he called out to God. Now, he was speaking God's word, but it wasn't really, nothing much was happening. And then that shows me that I can come and I can bring God's word to us every week. I can read from the pages of scriptures. I can talk to us. But to be honest, it will have very little effect. And Ezra realized that I can only help so much, but God is my helper. And he called to the one who would help him. Psalm 121 says this. It said, lift up your eyes from where your help comes from. Lift up your eyes from where your help comes from. The maker of heaven and earth. You know, I've told you, if God is saying anything to us as a people, he's calling us to lift up our eyes from where our help comes from. Your help does not necessarily come from the doctors. Yes, there will be help there. It doesn't come from your best friend. It doesn't come from the wisest man on the planet. It comes from God, the maker of heaven and earth. If God made you and he formed you, if he caused the very being within you, he knows you inside out and every hair on your head. If he knows everything about you, then he can help you. He's able to help you. If he created the heavens and the earth, he can create something new in your life to help you and sustain you. God is your helper. Ezra turned to God to help him. He cried out, God, help me. Last night we came together and we prayed and we sought God and we want to go deeper in God. Now, there's a wonderful sense of God's presence in this place. And you know, we were here for just a couple of hours, but already some people have said to me they didn't want to leave. We just come and recognize, why would people just come and give up 2 hours or more of their day just to come and seek a God they cannot see with their eyes? Because we know there is nowhere else to go. And what's going to change this nation, I believe, is when people begin to get a hold of what God sees over us. Get to see this nation as God sees it. To get God's heart for this nation. And I've not got to the place, I mean, I've not got a beard to rip out, but and I've not got much hair to rip out either. But I've not got to that place. But I pray, God, get me to that place where my heart is just so yielded to you and I recognize that I need you. Ezra knew that this nation needed God. And he cried out and he wept. And he cried and he wept and he cried and he wept. Many of us, we cry and we weep and we don't know what to do. I remember quite a number of years ago when I was probably just a young lad at the time, and I was walking along the beach. I think it might have been Sizewell Beach. We used to go there regularly with my parents on holiday. And I was walking along this beach, and I used to go out there often with a metal detector at the age and try and find some treasures to make us rich, as you do. But I was out there one day, and I remember at a distance, I saw this young, I think it must have been a late teenager girl. I could see it quite a distant away, but she was writing something in the sand. And by the time I got there, she'd already walked away, and I was curious, as you would be, what's she written in the sand? I'm just curious. You know, maybe you'd think she'd write, you know, I love so-and-so, or so-and-so for so-and-so, like you often do. And I got there, and I saw these words written in the sand: help, I'm hurting. Help, I'm hurting. And she was quite a distance away, and I mean, I didn't know what to do at the time, so I just began to pray. I mean, that's all I could do. And I thought, I wonder how many people in this world today would say, help, I'm hurting. You put on the covers, you know, maybe you come today, help, I'm hurting. I'm in agony of heart. I can't cope anymore. There's no one else who can help me. We live in a world where so many people are crying out, help, I'm hurting. Help me. Help me, the doctors have got no more solution for me. Help, there's no one's got the words to say to me my deepest hurt and pain right now that can bring any consolation or comfort. Help, I'm hurting. Help, my husband or my wife has just left me. Help, I'm hurting. Help, I've just lost my job. Help, I'm hurting. Help, my children don't want to know me anymore. Help, I'm hurting. There were so many things we could add to that. So much pain, so much hurt. In this world today, the Bible says we can turn to God. He is our helper. He is our helper. Can I encourage you today to turn to God and to cry out to Him, the helper? He wants to help you. May I just read a few scriptures to you to comfort you and to know, to have faith in God. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Isaiah 57, for the Lord God will help me, therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I set my face like flint, and I will know I will not be ashamed. Psalm 30, verse 2, O Lord my God, I cried to you for help, and you healed me. Why would we continue to live a life when we know God is there to help us? Psalm 30, verse 10 to 12, hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. God, help me. God, help this nation. God, help my brother. Help my sister. God, help this church. God, help Rotherham turn around. We know our help comes from Him. I encourage you today, look to God for your help. Many people in the Bible, they turned to Jesus Christ. They came to Him and began to cry out to Him for help. There's a woman who, his daughter was struggling with demons in her life. The devil had, it says that she came and she fell on her knees. She was a Gentile. She had no right to come before Jesus. She fell on her knees and she said, Jesus, help me. There's nowhere else to go. Jesus, help me. And that cry of faith and dependence that God would help, Jesus responded and healed her daughter. A man came with a similar issue. His son was riddled with demons in the life and kept jumping into the fire. And he cried out, Jesus, help me. He said, help, not only help me, but help my faith. I believe, but help my unbelief. Jesus helped him. God is a God who wants to help us. But we've got to come to Him with faith. And that is with trust. We've got to come to Him with a humble heart. Many of us don't ask for help. Why? Because of pride. Because we don't want to put it on other people. We think we can manage it ourselves. Do you know why the Bible says that Jesus comforts and comes for the contrite and broken in spirit? Because a broken in spirit gets to the end of themselves and realizes there's nowhere else to go. And if you're broken in spirit, then you're in a good place, because there you can begin to come and cry out, Jesus, help me. I want to close one more with this story in the Bible, with John chapter 4, John chapter 8. We see a tremendous thing what Jesus did, what no one else would probably do. There's a woman, she was caught in the very act of adultery. And these people, they ran out and they grabbed this woman while it's in the act. You can imagine the humiliation of this woman. And they dragged her out. And they threw her before Jesus, while Jesus was teaching in the courts. And they threw her before all these people. Imagine if that was any of us, being dragged out and humiliated and thrown before all these people. And people just gasping, picking up stones, ready to kill this woman. Imagine how she'd be feeling. Defenseless, helpless, utterly humiliated, laughed at as a nothing, as a nobody. People laughing at her, maybe spitting on her as she walked by. And Jesus, this is the heart of God. Jesus stepped in. I can just imagine her standing in front of her. And he begins to defend her. He begins to help her where she could not help herself. And then he begins to bend down and he writes in the sand. And then he stands up and they all say to her, Jesus, what are you going to do about this woman? The word says that she needs to be stoned. And you know the real reason why they threw her before these people wasn't to get at this woman, was to get at Jesus. But Jesus stood there and he spoke up for her. He helped her. He defended her. And he said, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. And then he began to bend down again. He began to write in that sand. And we don't know exactly what was written in that sand. But I begin to wonder, and I think that maybe Jesus began to write down sins of, different sins, you know, liar, hater, abuser. And maybe when he began to write those words, they're thinking, yes, that's this woman. I'm just speculating here, but maybe he was writing different sins and they may be all putting it onto this woman. And then he said, he is without sin, cast the first stone, as they began to look at their own life. And as a people, you know, we have a way that we begin to look at people's lives and think, oh, they deserve that. We look at the news and we think, they deserve that. But we never take the moment to look at our own life and realize that every single one of us is a sinner and falls short of the glory of God. You know what Jesus did? He stood in front of her. He defended her. And they began one by one to drop their stones. Maybe as they began to realize that I deserve death. And began to walk away. Jesus defended this woman and showed utter compassion and help. And then she began to walk away and he said, woman, sin no more. She walked away a free woman. You and I walk away free because of what Jesus Christ had done. You know, I read in the news, we're familiar with the Manchester bombings that took place, but one of the victims' names was Kelly Brewster. If anyone read about Kelly Brewster in the news. But when this bomb went off, she was there with her niece in the concert. And it says that she died as she jumped in front of the bomb and she took the blast for her niece, 8-year-old niece, and she died and her niece survived. She took the blast for her niece. She died. The niece survived. You and I, we need to realize today God is our helper. Jesus took the blast of sin for you and I so that we could live. He who knew no sin became sin that we could become the righteousness of God. God took the blast of what the hater, what the ridiculer, what lying deserved, what the abuser deserves. He took it upon himself. He became sin so that you and I could be free. If there is a helper in this world, it's Jesus Christ. We need to look to a helper where a help comes from. Praise God. God is faithful to help you in your time of need. I just wonder, Rachel, would you come and that word help means to come to aid. And we all need help in different times and parts in our life when we go through difficult challenges and difficulties through life. But one thing that we need to realize is that we need help when we leave this life. Who will deliver us from death? Jesus Christ is the only one who will deliver us from death. Who will deliver us from sin? Jesus Christ is the only one who can deliver us from sin. I really want to put that question that I put to you earlier today. Do you know Jesus Christ as your deliverer, as your savior, as your Lord today? Just finally, tragically, we saw as well in the news this week about the tower in London that got set alight. And while that was going on, that was being filmed, and there was a man, an elderly man, they kept the camera on the whole way through, who was waving a flag out this window, crying, help, Anyone see that? Help. There were cries of help from that tower. I believe there are going to be many cries. The Bible talks that hell is a very real place. There are many cries from hell, crying help. I'm not here to scare people, but the reality is Jesus loves us so much. He's done everything necessary to set us free, to deliver us. And I want to tell you today, I cried out to God for help, and every day I cry out help. This morning when I came, God, help me lead the service today. Help me with the word. Help these people. Help Rachel as she leads the worship. Help us today. Help Amy and Steve. Help us. I'm crying out constantly because I know my help comes from Him. But ultimately, we need Jesus to be our helper. We need Him to be our Savior. And if you don't know Him as your Savior, then don't leave it too late. Don't leave it for the fires of hell before it's too late. Call upon His name now while He may be found. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. If you don't know Jesus in your life, don't leave it for tomorrow. Tomorrow will never come. This is a message of hope. This is a message of truth. This is a message of life for every single one of us. And if Ezra was here today, I believe as he cried out for the nation to turn their heart back to God, and he wept and he cried, he'd be crying out as the Jesus Christ has come to this world to turn to Jesus. Peter, as Paul cried out, as John cried out, as the disciples cried out, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. If you're not saved today, then don't leave this place without knowing Jesus Christ. And I want to give you the opportunity because I believe it's my duty as a Christian, as a child of God, and if I was sitting here today and come to this meeting and I didn't know Jesus Christ and I knew what I was, and I began to find out what I was missing, I would beg you to tell me about Jesus. I'd beg you to tell me to bring me into the kingdom of God. And I'm sure many of you know Jesus would be exactly the same. So I want to give you that opportunity now. So can we just maybe close our eyes? And you may hate me after this, but you know what? I love you and God loves you. And I tell you this because I love you and because God loves you. And God wants you to know eternity with Him. We don't know when life is going to end. But we can know Jesus today as our Savior. So if you sense something over your life and you're feeling in your heart, you think, I need to know Jesus. That word is for me, and I've been crying out for help from different places, but I realize today, God, you're telling me to look to you for help. If that's you, and you want Jesus as your Savior to help you and to save you and to give you a new life, then I just want to encourage you before God, just maybe just to lift your hand and say, that's me, in surrender. It's more important than anything else. Just say, God, that's me. And while every head's bowed, I want to give you the opportunity, just lift your head, hand up to God. Thank you, Jesus. Call upon Him while He may be found. Maybe there's other people here, you've come this morning and you maybe just thought you'd come for a dedication. I want to tell you today that God loves you so much, so much. He's given His life for you so very much. He doesn't want to be distant from you. He wants to be near. He's given you that free will to accept Him into your life. He's not going to force Himself. And there's someone else here today and you're crying out for help. All week you've been crying out, God, would you help me? I'm struggling. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. And this is a word of hope for you that you can turn to God. He will help you. He longs to help you. He's faithful to help His nation. He's faithful to help you. He's just waiting for you to call upon Him. And I'll give you the opportunity now. Cry, God, help me. Help my family. Help this town. May this town be known in Rotherham, Lord, as one who has God as their help. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this day. We thank you, Lord, indeed, that it's Father's Day. And Lord, I pray that many sons would come to know you as their Father. Many daughters would come to know you as your Father today throughout this world. And Lord, I pray many people would begin to pray, God, come into my heart and my life. Cleanse me. Deliver me. Defend me. Rescue me. Lift me out of the pit. Set my feet upon a solid rock. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, thank you for being patient and listening to me. I've probably gone on longer than I should. But